Good morning. I'm Wynn. If you would like to follow the scripture reading, turn to page 1157 in a Bible near you. Wonderful chapter of Isaiah, chapter 61. We're reading the first seven verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father, we pray as we listen to your word that you would open our hearts. Amen. That video, it was actually a video for Sainsbury's supermarket chain in England, equivalent to our Woolworths. But given that, they've still picked up something very powerful, haven't they? It's all based on stuff that actually happened, even to the point of the records of, I don't know, I can't remember which one it was, but I think there was a German was shaving an Englishman, giving him a shave. Now, what's going on that the birth of a baby can have something like that effect? More than that, a song about the birth of a baby that was 2,000 years before can have that effect. That even a man, an enemy, will allow a man with a razor to access to his neck. Such is the impact of Jesus on this planet. A few years ago, a couple of guys from Cambridge University, Stephen Skiena and Charles Ward, they worked out an algorithm. You probably know the story. They worked out an algorithm to assess every Wikipedia article on the internet and every scanned book on the internet. And their desire was, they had an algorithm worked out to be able to determine who was the most famous person in all of history. And you won't be surprised that the answer was Jesus. They estimated that of all the words in all the scanned books and all the Wikipedia sites and the like, of all those words, every 10,000 words comes up the name Jesus. 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 And we live in a world that easily ignores Jesus, and yet at exactly the same time cannot ignore him. So there'll be a whole bunch of people doing their Christmas shopping this year, going up and down the aisles of every single different shop you could possibly imagine, and yet not think about Christ even once, even though everything is plastered with his name in Christmas. I don't know if you've noticed, I'm sure you have, that the advertisers begin their Christmas preparations earlier and earlier. Someone told me they saw a Christmas ad in September. I don't know how you feel about that, but I want to suggest that the advertisers got the idea of preparing early for Christmas from the church. This is what's called the first Sunday in Advent. Advent means coming. We're remembering his first coming. And we remember his second coming. And it's important for us, the way that things have been shaped in the church year, is that we spend 4 to 5 weeks thinking about the real meaning of Christmas. Because we are immersed in a community that has Christ everywhere, yet pushed him and blocked him out. But where did the church get the idea for preparing for Christmas early? Well, I think they got the idea, or we got the idea, from God himself. God prepared a long time before that first Christmas, for the first Christmas. And one of the places that his preparations are absolutely clear is in the book of Isaiah. 700 years before the first Christmas, we have God preparing for that day to come. You could say that Isaiah is the prophet of Christmas. Well, we've got Christmas lights happening and everything. Isaiah, just get that number 4 up, that's all you need to do. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Up to the top, that's it. Done. Isaiah looks forward to Christmas more than possibly anyone else in the Old Testament. 700 years before, Isaiah said these sorts of things, and you'll know them. Chapter 7. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Or what about chapter 9 of Isaiah? For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government is upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And those obvious references don't just point to the particular chapter that they might be in, it points to the whole of Isaiah. And Isaiah is saying there is a Christmas king coming, and he says things like this in Isaiah chapter 43, this king is going to make everything new. In Isaiah 65, he says, there will be a new heavens and a new earth, and he goes on to describe that the wolf will lie down with the lamb. The lion will eat hay like the ox. This is simply a picture of an unparalleled peace. Isaiah chapter 2 says they will beat their swords into plowshares. Such will be the peace. And maybe even we could say they will use their bayonets and make them into shavers to make others look good. Isaiah chapter 25 says of this Christmas, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God, for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord, for whom we have waited. So right up to Christmas Day, we're going to spend some time exploring Isaiah. And today we're going to start very briefly with Isaiah chapter 61. So if it helps, and if you find it helpful, have the Bible open so you can see that, Isaiah 61. But we need to see that Isaiah, the whole of Isaiah, is set before the exile. But what it does, you know, the exile, when God's people were taken out of their land forcibly and violently, it's set before the exile, but it predicts the exile. Not only does it predict the exile, it explains why the exile happened, the sin of the people. For Israel, the exile, in one word, was death. But in a number of words, it was poverty, broken hearts, captivity, ashes, mourning, despair, and shame. But Isaiah also says that there will be a day of return and rebuilding and healing and blessing. In a word, peace. Isaiah says that this Christ of Christmas will come and will bring good news to the brokenhearted. Freedom for the captives. He will bring beauty instead of ashes, gladness instead of mourning, praise instead of despair, and instead of shame, everlasting joy. And I think it's really important as we prepare for Christmas that we see that the Christmas stories themselves, using Isaiah so much as they do, are couched in Isaiah. Isaiah gives the Christmas story its context and meaning. So what that means is, if you don't understand the exile that Isaiah is talking about, then it's possible you don't understand Christmas either, because that's what it's talking about. Isaiah 61 says, "This end of exile will come when a spirit-empowered servant who will be a preacher will lead you out of exile, out of poverty, out of broken hearts, out of captivity, out of ashes and mourning and despair and shame." So it's amazing and gripping when at the beginning of Luke's gospel, in those Christmas stories, there is this character introduced, one who will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. And this one who is filled with the Holy Spirit from birth is named John the Baptist. But as you read the story, you find out, in some sense, maybe how it was that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Because there's his mum, Elizabeth, pretty pregnant, goes to visit her cousin, Mary, who's also pretty pregnant. And the minute Mary says greetings to Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumps for joy. And this is what Luke chapter 1 verse 44 says. Elizabeth said, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." And this baby would have the task of preparing the way for the Lord. That is the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Now you remember that Isaiah talks about, and Luke talks about as well, that this one who comes will prepare a way in the, can you remember? Prepare a way in the wilderness. Prepare a way in the desert, those sorts of words. And it's not that he's preparing a way in the desert because that just happens to be where he lives. No. Isaiah will say that as there was a way prepared back then in Egypt, through water, so there will be a way prepared now, because Babylon and Jerusalem across the desert, there will be a way prepared in the desert. There will be a new exodus, a return from exile. And the Lord, who John prepares the way for, you know is Jesus. And it's Jesus who at the beginning of his preaching picks up Isaiah 61 and says, here is my job description. Let me read it for you. Because it sounds a lot like Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And then he sits down, he rolls up the scroll, sits down and says, today in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled. And they all look at him. Now think about it for a moment. Here is Jesus saying, I have come to bring you out of exile. The problem was they had returned from exile about 500 years before. Remember when we were going through Haggai just recently? They're already back. It's like there were people drowning and they made their own way back in somehow, and then the lifesaver comes down the beach the next day and says, I'm here to help. And well, buddy, you've missed the boat. Literally. Has Jesus missed the boat? Did he turn up too late, 500 years late? I think this is the important thing that we need to see, is that the exile for Israel was not a physical problem because they'd returned physically from exile, but the return from exile is a spiritual problem. They need to return from exile spiritually. And the exile that Jesus would rescue from is a spiritual exile. But it's not only Israel that he's going to release free, mend up, bind up from this spiritual exile, but all the nations are going to be invited to come in. Jesus will announce the year of the Lord's favour, not just for every Israelite, but for every person alive will have the opportunity. So we need to see that the Old Testament is not God's plan A that didn't work, so he tried something else. The Old Testament is not like a failed business plan that God, well, he thought, I'll think of some different way of connecting with people. No, everything worked in the Old Testament, exactly what it was meant to do. And Israel became a message to the nations, an object lesson to the nations. That the problem that we have is not physical. The problem that we have is spiritual. And even though Israel was given every single resource, every promise, everything they could possibly, they still failed. But this is the message that's meant to get out to the nations as well. We need him to do it for us. We need him to rescue us. It's not a message of tighten your bootstraps, pull up your pants, whatever, pull up your socks, that's it. Keep going. That's not it. That's not the message. The message is you and I need rescuing from exile, from spiritual exile. Now, friends, the story of the exile, I think, is so almost unknown by so many Christians and churches. And yet in the Bible, it's absolutely critical for understanding the need for Christmas. We think it's a story far away from us, but it's not a story far away from us. It's our story. It's my story. It's your story. Spiritual poverty, broken spiritual hearts, spiritual captivity, ashes and mourning and despair and shame. And that's why the Bible and Christmas time says things like this: people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Because Jesus has arrived on the scene, the servant king. Well, that story that we saw a glimpse of in the video from World War One is only a ripple giving testimony to something more profound that happened beforehand. That is the birth of Jesus. The arrival of Jesus. That day when an army of angels sang glory to God in the highest and peace on all whom his favour rests. But because his arrival is to bind up the brokenhearted, to release those who are in captivity and mourning, the mourning of sin, the captivity of Satan, those ripples have not just reached the front there in World War One, but have reached you and me, really. Spiritual poverty and broken hearts and captivity and ashes and mourning and despair and shame. You know, Isaiah won't let us stay in that mire any longer, because we see the light, we see the King. What a horrible thing it would be to just be caught up in cultural Christmas. We need to prepare for it, and we begin to do that today. And friends, let me reinforce, is there a comparable birth of a person anywhere in all of history that's anything like the birth of Jesus? You name one. Go on. There's nothing, is there? It's absolutely, I hope you're not offended at this, bleeding obvious to the whole world. And yet they are able to block it out. Isaiah says, prepare yourselves for Christmas. Prepare yourselves to meet Christ. See what is plain for all to see. Don't ignore the real Jesus. Don't miss out on the real peace. And don't fail to celebrate the real Christmas. Real peace. Peace with God. Let me pray. Father, you could not have gone to any more trouble than you did. As you looked at Israel, you saw broken hearts and captivity and ashes and despair and mourning, but not only Israel, but to a whole world in darkness. And so what you did was send in an unquenchable light. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would prepare us for Christmas. Save us from being caught up with Christmas lists of things we want, of hope and joy in the thing we might get, but to have hope and joy in the thing that's been given. In the Lord Jesus. Father, whoever we are, wherever we're at, whatever we've done, whatever we haven't done, whatever it's been happening, we ask you, Lord God, to show us Jesus like we've never seen him before. And we pray it in his great name. Amen.